Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. I'm so delighted this evening to be on our radio broadcast for our praise, for our study in the Word of God by the grace of God. I just give God all reverence and praise, who is my life, and to each one of you, I just thank and praise God on tonight. I thank him and praise him on tonight. God is a good God, and he's so worthy to be praised. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion. We're going to have a song, a scripture, a song, and a prayer. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms number 30. Psalms 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made any foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by the favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. But be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I have just read you from Psalms 30 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song. Wait a minute. I don't know what happened there.
I'm excited to introduce a young man that's going to come and bless us before I bring the word of God.
Wait a minute.
Oh, our God is awesome. I'm him.
I don't know what that is.
Refuses to die.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, I come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come confessing and repenting, God, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we come tonight, God, just giving you all the praise tonight, God. And we give you glory. We magnify your holy name, God. And we bless your name, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you tonight to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. And bless and cover every one of them. Cover every member and bless them, God, of the end time men, women, and war. Global Ministries, God, I ask you right now to cover them wherever they are in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to touch our hearts and minds tonight and that we may receive your word just like it's given, God. I ask you to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach us tonight, God. Open up our minds. Open up our understanding, God. Touch us tonight, God. We need you, God, and we can't make it without you, Lord. We need you, God. Open up our understanding, God. Search our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. If there's anything in there, Lord, that should not be, God, I ask you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus, creating us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind, God. in the name of Jesus. Lord, we be so careful to give you all the praise and all the glory and all of the honor. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask it all. Amen, 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 and so let it be. Hallelujah. We're going to go right ahead on and start reading because we got a ways to go. Prophetess Martin, if you would like for me to read some of yours, I can for you. No problem.
No, ma'am, it's okay. We're not reading three chapters tonight.
No, you just read one. Number 31.
Okay.
And I read 30. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribe. Did we read this last week?
I don't think so. I think we stopped at 29.
Okay. All right. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. If a woman also vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she have bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she have bound her soul shall stand. Mm. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she have bound her soul to stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. And if she had at all a husband when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow should stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul should stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. But every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house, or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her, and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband have utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatsoever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband have made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul. Her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he established all her vows or all her bonds which are upon her. He confirmeth it them, because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. But if he shall any way make them void after that he have heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, between the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth in her father's house. Amen.
Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterwards shalt thou be gathered into thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe, 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel, shall ye send to the war. So there were delivered out of the 1,000 of Israel, 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them a Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest to the war with the holy instrument and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses. And they slew all the males, and they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rekin and Zir and Hur and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam also, son of Beor, they slew with the sword. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives, and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle and all the flocks and all their goods. And they burnt all their cities wherein they dwelt, and all their goodly cattle with fire. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of men and of beasts. And they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, and unto the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. And Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the priests of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captain over thousands, and captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, plague among the congregation of the Lord. And, now therefore kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with them. But all the women, children, that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves, and do ye abide without the camp 7 days. Whosoever has killed any person, and whosoever has touched any slain, purify both yourselves and your captives on the third day, on the seventh day, and purify all your raiment and all that is made of skins, and all work of goat hair, and all things made of wool. And Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war which went to the battle, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses: only the gold and the silver, the brass, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that may abide, everything that may abide the fire, you shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation, and all that abideth not the fire, you shall make go through the water. And ye shall wash your clothes on the seventh day, and ye shall be clean. And afterward ye shall come into the camp. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the sum of the prey that was taken, both of man and of beast, thou, and Eleazar the priest, and the chief fathers of the congregation, and divide the prey into two parts, between them that took the war upon them who went out to battle, and between the congregation, and levy a tribute unto the Lord of the men of war which went out to battle, one soul of 500, both of the person and of the bees and of the asses and of the sheep. Take it of their half and give it unto Eleazar the priest for a heave offering of the Lord. And of the children of Israel have, thou shalt take one portion of fifty of the persons of the bees, of the asses, and of the flocks of all manner of beasts, and give them unto Levites, which keep the charge of the tabernacle of the Lord. And Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord commanded Moses. And the booty, being the rest of the prey which the men of war had caught, was 600,000 and 70,000 and 5,000 sheep, and 60,000 bees, and 61,000 asses, and 32,000 persons in all, and of women that had not known men by lying with them, and the half which was the portion of them that went out to war was the number 300,007 and 30,500 sheep, and the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 600,315, and the bees were 36,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 612, and the asses were 30,500, of which the Lord's tribute was 601, and the persons were 16,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 31 persons. And Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's heave offering of Eleazar the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses. And of the children of Israel's half, which Moses divided from the men that warred, the half that pertained unto the congregation was 300,000 and 30,000 and 500 sheep, and 36,000 bees, and 30,000 asses, and 500, and 16,000 persons. Even of the children of Israel have, Moses took one portion of 50, both of men and of beasts, and gave them unto the Levites, which kept the charge of the tabernacle of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the officers, which were over thousands of the host, the captain of thousands and captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses. And they said unto Moses, servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord. What every man has gotten of jewels, of gold, chains and bracelets, rings, earrings and tablets, to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord. And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of them, even all wrought jewels, and all the gold of the offerings that they offered up to the Lord, of the captains of thousands and of the captains of hundreds, was 16,750 shekels. For the men of the war had taken spoil, every man for himself. And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and brought it into the tabernacle of the congregation for a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. Amen.
Amen, amen. Mighty good, but we almost finished with Numbers. Amen. Our first question is, if a man made a vow to God, could it be unbound? If a man, not a woman, if a man made a vow to God, could it be broken or unbound? So.
No, he can't.
Number one and two. Verses 1 and 2 says, if a man vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he should not break his word. He should not do according to all that preceded. He should do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. Yep. You can't, when God expects for you, even today, when you give your word, he expects for you to keep your word. People don't think that means nothing, but it means something. When you tell somebody you're going to do something, you don't do it, baby, God frowns on that. If a woman in her family's house make a vow, who could break it? If a woman in her father's house, if a woman's in her father's house make a vow, who could break it?
Is it her father?
Yep. And why?
It's fine. And her, let me read 3. If a woman also vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house, in her youth, father, hear her vow and her bond without wherewith she had bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand. So is that because she's young and she's still under her father's roof?
That's right. If she's still single and under her father's roof, or under her father's home, the father can be held responsible for her. Because I remember one time that granddaddy or Papa Dean, I was saying something, and I didn't understand him back then when I was living in St. Louis, but he said, no, he said, don't do that. He said, because I'm responsible for that. And I didn't catch it then. But now I know why he was doing that, why he was saying that. Now I know it. Numbers 30 and 31. In Numbers 30 and 31, Yep. That's exactly what it means. And that's something because it's like the man is the head of the house, and if you're not married, then the father is the head. So if a father did not overrule his daughter's vow, what must she do if he didn't overrule it?
You have to keep her, keep it.
Yeah.
Keep the what?
Yeah, she has to keep it. Her vow.
It's her vow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She has to keep it. Stand against her if she does. Yep. Why could the vow of a widow or a divorced woman not be broken? Why couldn't that vow not be broken?
Because she doesn't have a man in her home?
Yep. Yep.
Over her?
Pretty much. That pretty much is what it is. Absolutely. That's pretty much what it is. Why? Mm-hmm. Let me read some of this so you can know why. Let me see, where is it? I'm trying to find it here. In chapter 30. Okay, number 9. But every vow of a widow or of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her. And if she vow in her husband's house or bind her soul to a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, in every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But that's for, I guess, the divorced lady, because if the widow man, the widow is, her husband is dead, but that's because no man is over them. That's exactly what it is. Okay.
So basically, what I get out of it too is that any vows of a widow or a divorced woman had no male head of the household. You know what I'm saying? So her head is God directly.
Right.
So she is bound by her vows with God. So that's why, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why I got what I got out of it.
Yep, that's good. Yep, that's good. Yep, that's good. And we have to know that. We have to, and see, because you can't give somebody your word and then break it. It's just like lying. You see what I'm saying? Even though sometimes you might say, well, I'm going to do this for you. It's something more, much more important to come. But you've already said what you was going to do or gave your word. People don't know how important that is to the Lord. They just don't know. You can't do that. You know, that's standing people up, really, is what it is. But when you make a vow, you need to keep your vow. Your word is your bond. That's why people get that from. Your word is your bond. Mm-hmm. So we're moving on to chapter 31. Why did Moses get angry with the men who came back with spoils from the Midianites they had defeated? Why did Moses get mad? In verse 16. Ooh, these men, I tell you what. They're going to get in trouble. They're going to get their own stuff in trouble. It says, behold, this caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam, now, this Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. And the Lord said, in other words, now therefore kill every male among, no, the Lord didn't say that. I take that lie back. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman that have known man by lying with him. Yes, he did. But all the women, children, that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourself. And do ye abide without the camp 7 days, whosoever have killed any person and whosoever have touched any slain, purify both yourself and your captives on the third day and on the seventh day. So they disobeyed God and got in trouble.
So they could I actually elaborate on it a little bit?
Yes,
so
ma'am.
What I got out of it was, Mama, Moses was angry because the children of Israel failed to see, you know, like the danger of sexual immortality and idolatry that was posed by the women. So
that's right.
Who before that, you know, led the men of Israel into these exact sins.
That's right. Worse
you know,
than idols.
They are, you know, right. They Christians are often tripped. They often tripped up by things that were a threat. Oh, my God.
Right.
They often, you know, tripped up by things that as a threat. You get what I'm saying? Most Israelites, they thought the women were safe. They were more dangerous to Israel than any army, any mighty warrior or however you want to say that, or any Israelite could ever overcome. So if they were really spiritually strong, it was basically seduced into immortality and idolatry. And
right.
They basically would certainly fall, you know what I'm saying? So that's sad that, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's just how, you know, it's just going on. What went on then, some of the stuff is still going on now. You get what I'm saying with the women and the men. So, you know.
Yep, you're right. Well, the thing about it is, back in Genesis, where these men, they had the Canaanite women, and they were sleeping with the sons of men. No. Yeah, they were. And anyway, they were sleeping with the Nephilim. That's how you got these big giants. And God didn't want them sleeping with them because, sure enough, they started worshiping their God. You know, women have a weapon. God gave us a weapon, and we can use it any kind of way we want to. It ain't right all the time, but it's a weapon because you can turn a man from doing right to doing wrong. And that's what happened even to Solomon. Solomon had so many wives, and believe me, he had so many of them, and believe me, he was worshiping their gods too and trying to worship God too. But you can't do that. You can't worship God and mammon. And it's the same way. Them Canaanite women turned the sons of men, the sons of men. He turned them to worship an idol god, and that's how this is too. You can't do that, because these women got a weapon. They got a weapon. And they'll use it too, any kind, the way they can to get the man of God to do wrong. Just as is today, these women come in the church house, dresses all the way up to their coochie, and sit on the front row and let the preacher trying to preach. How you going to preach? And looking at them, same thing, same thing. You can't do that. You know, and then when the preacher starts sleeping around her, when the preacher starts saying something to him on the slide, then, oh, he ain't no good. No, you sit up there with your coochie hanging out. Anyway, I better go on. What was they to do about this? About the media, like, about, wait a minute, it says, why did Moses get angry with the men who came back with the spoils from the Midianites? Because they weren't supposed to. They weren't supposed to come back with the. They was following Balaam's orders. And then those same women was the women that had already got them in trouble and had sinned. Okay, what were they to do? In the verse 16, let's see. No, 17. I had read it, but it says, therefore, kill every male among the little ones and kill every one woman that had known man by lying with them. Uh-huh. They were supposed to kill every one of the women that had already been with a man, had known the man. They're supposed to keep only the women that didn't know, you know, hadn't had sex with a man. Okay. How did the Israelites divide the spoil? How did they divide what they kept? In verse 27. And it says, and divide the prey into two parts between them that took the war upon them who went out to battle and between all the congregation. So they had to divide it to share it equally between those who had fought the battle and those who did not go to fight. They had to divide it with the ones that did fight and with the ones that didn't fight.
Could I elaborate a little bit?
Yes, ma'am.
Customarily, the spoil belongs to the soldiers alone, but God did not want the soldiers who was looters of the pirates, so he commanded that they also granted some of the spoil to the people of Israel who did not fight. Basically what you said, but it's in a different sense, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, it was the same thing, though. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a portion of the spoil also was to be given to the Lord, even with the spoils of the war. God wanted Israel, you know, to have the heart of a giver, like to give. You know, that's what's wrong with us today. That's what we don't do. We don't give. You know, how we don't receive, and you know what I'm saying, with closed hands, because we don't give. So
that's right.
I truly believe in.
Okay, last question. Why did the men of war give a special offering to the Lord? It is in verse 49 and 50. It's in verse 49 and 50. Why did the men of war give a special offering to the Lord. We all should know that.
Is it like a Thanksgiving offering? I forgot exactly
it's a Thanksgiving offering, but what was it for? It was because everybody came back.
Everybody came back and all of them were alive.
And they said unto Moses, thy servant have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord, what every man have gotten of jewelry, of gold, jewels of gold, chains, bracelet, rings, earrings, tablets, to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord. Yeah, they were just grateful that they didn't lose not one man in fighting their war. And so they was just, it was just like a Thanksgiving offering, an oblation, you know, to the Lord. And we just have to be careful. A lot of times we don't give God enough praise and worship and thanks, because we don't think it's, we think and we take it for granted that we're going to wake up, or we take it for granted that if we leave and go to the store that we're going to come back, or just something simple. You pay your light bill, you think your light's going to always be on because you pay the bill. It don't have necessary. You can pay your bill and they can still go out. It's a lot of things we take for granted that we shouldn't think it's going to happen, and it don't all the time. So we have to be, and especially me, I learned so much, because even when 1 year was so hot in St. Louis and Illinois, was just really hot. I forgot, it's been over 10 years ago. They had a hot summer, and the lights basically went off, the electricity, and it stayed off a long time, for weeks at a time. And we had no electricity, no air conditioner, no fan, nothing. But God allowed us to survive through it. Mm-hmm. It's been a few years ago, but I remember it well, because there was nowhere you could go to be cool unless somebody had a generator. There was nowhere. And people was out in the evening and at night. But we take so many things for granted that God allow us to have. We take it for granted. And I'm so grateful today that the things he did back then, he's not doing them. He's not allowing them as harsh, because he's not allowing all of that harsh stuff he was doing back then. Now he don't play now, because he'll kill you. People, God don't kill people. You just keep thinking that. Just keep on playing with God. God will kill you. I'm telling you. And you know it from what we've studied, how he opened up the earth and swallowed them people that was talking against Moses and Aaron. God will kill you. He don't play, I'm telling you. And people just say, oh, God don't do stuff like that. We got a loving God, but God don't play. God don't play. He already looking at our heart. So he know what's going on. He already looking at our heart. You know, it's something. But we have to know. We have to know, we have to listen to God, and we can't follow everybody what they say. You'll see some more of that in there, where they had followed Balaam instead of doing what God said. And Moses got really mad and upset, angry anyway. So I think this was really good. I could talk and talk and talk about it, because it's really good. But we don't have but a few more chapters. I am going to email everybody a copy of the book of Deuteronomy, because that's our next book. And we're moving right along. These are some long, long chapters, I tell you. They long, but they good. And it, and you're learning something that you haven't learned before. You know, you just read in the Bible, read, but when you study it and go through it, you learn more. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing. But anyway, I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to say we got about 5 minutes. I can't even see it. We got about 8 or so. Anybody have any questions or comments? It's a good thing. I really enjoyed all the comments and everything. I really enjoyed it.
I
enjoyed reading it. Okay.
Or just basically what the verses or the chapters that we read, I think that it really deal with vows, which was, you know, promises, you know, are made,
mm-hmm.
and vigilance, you know, which is, you know, plans that, you know, made for war. Like, we need to prepare ourselves, you know, show thyself approved,
right.
But, you know, prepare yourself for the upcoming things, like you were saying about the lights and the water and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be stocked on that type of stuff. So that's the vigilance of it. And the victory is, you know, given by God from the personal to the national, from the private to the public. You know, and I think that God, he really looks down on them ones who really try. He covers us. He covers us all, but he really covers
mm-hmm.
us that really partake in the vows that we stand for, you know, our words. And just being busy, you know what I'm saying, about certain things. If you know you need gas before you go somewhere, you got to get it. So whatever you can stock up on and whatever you can do, just be, you know, that's mindful. And you'd have to stay vigilant. So when people say, you know,
mm-hmm.
older people use those type of words, I think, and like you were saying, some other old stuff too, that a lot of the young generation haven't heard those type of words because they, you know,
mm-hmm.
may not have their grandmother. Now they 32 years old, and they, you know what I'm saying, they around here,
mm-hmm.
you know, not knowing themselves, not being taught properly. So my thing with it is, you know, I think that 30 and 31, it really teaches us about our vows.
Yeah.
Our husband, God, you know, our word. Then it really teaches us vigilance along with God's victory. And I think these two verse chapters really set it off for me because, you know, sometimes Christians need to be reminded about a lot of things, you know, that go on in their life that they do on a day-to-day basis, you know, because sometimes we just get off track. So with this right here, I think, you know what I'm saying, it's
mm-hmm.
a reminder piece for me. I can just really only speak for me, but we all need to be reminded at, you know, some point in our life that you hold a vow. And you supposed to always stay vigilant, plan.
That's right.
You know, people don't think you're not supposed to, plan. You know, I remember that somebody prophesied to me about how I would be at my kitchen table. And, I mean, I was in my early 20s and didn't know that, you know, that's what God really wanted for all of us to do. That's just something that I did because I wanted it to turn out or come around or come about in a certain way instead of a negative way. When you plan things, you know, you have a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go out of town, plan what you're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you could have a mindset on what you're doing instead of you getting somewhere and one person want to go here, the next person want to go there, the next person, and then everybody have an attitude. Then everybody going where they want to go and doing what they want to do. But if you have a plan set in place, I promise you everybody will go by it, go by that plan, and things will come out so happy and so, you know, most people don't think that's important, but it is important, especially in God's eyes, because he want us to be vigilant. I know where I'm going out of town soon. You get what I'm saying? So you got to have a plan.
Yep.
I'd rather bring too much than not enough. So I'd rather do a lot than not nothing at all. So God is really looking at us as a people. If you say you're a Christian, act like it. Plan your life. Plan what you do. But first you need permission from God with a lot of things that you do. But, you know, so I really enjoyed this, and I was really not really able to study as much as I wanted to, but what I got out of it was more than enough for me. I just thank God on tonight. Thank you, Mama, or Dean, Pastor, Prophetess, Woman of God. Thank you so much. I mean, this really helped me. It just enlightened my soul, and you didn't really say much, but you just read some scripture, and that's all I needed. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. God bless your heart. And just one more little thing before we close out. Another thing that God was trying to get them to see was that it took him one night to bring them out of Egypt. God. But it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of them. You understand? It took God one night to bring them across that Red Sea out of Egypt. But they still had Egypt in them because they brought them same Midianites, women into the camp. They had been tricked into idolatry through the advice of Balaam to the Midianites. And they still brought the, after they killed the Midianite men, they still brought the women there. That's why he was upset, because Balaam tricked them. So they still had some Egypt in them that God hadn't got out. They still had some worldliness in them. Just like today, we in the church, but we in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world. But some of us still got worldliness in us. That's what I'm talking about. It took God one night to bring, one day to bring them across that Red Sea out of Egypt. But it took them 40 years to get Egypt out of them. Child, better go somewhere. So I'm telling you, it's something. What we have to learn and what we should learn that we're not learning. But we should always know we in this world, but we're not of the world. We don't do them things that the worldliness, the people of the world do. They should be able to spot a believer. We should be spotted. You different. You know what I'm saying? We should be spotted. We shouldn't be doing what the world do. I'm just telling you. Shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, I'm going to get ready to close out, y'all. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for your prepared word for us, God. I ask you right now, God, to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I ask you to bless them on tonight with the blessing they stand in need of tonight. Lord, I ask you to take care of and protect them, God, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, God. I ask you to protect them tonight, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, encamp angels all around about them to protect them, God. Thank you for opening our minds, God, and our understanding. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and giving us an understanding. We thank you tonight for this word, God. We thank you for the understanding of this word, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. You all go in peace. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night. I will be live in the morning. God bless you by the grace of God. Amen. Have a good night.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night. Love you all. Good night.
Love you all.
Love you. God bless you. Good night to everybody.
Night.